Have you been too busy to get your associate's, bachelor's, or master's degree? Concordia University, Wisconsin offers 50 online educational options. Find out more at issuesetc.org. Click the Concordia University online logo and enter the program code ISSUES to waive your application fee. Concordia University, Wisconsin is here to strengthen and support the church. Lifelong Lutheran Learning. issuesetc.org and click Concordia University, Wisconsin online.
The hymn speaks of Jesus blessing the little children. Now, Jesus does this over against the objection of his disciples there in Mark chapter 10. It is, in fact, he's indignant with the disciples when they refuse to let the little children come to him. He blesses them, and he says, to such as these belong the kingdom of God. It's something recorded in more than one gospel. So, there are many Christians who have no problem with Jesus blessing these little children, even saying that to these belong the kingdom of God, but they have a real problem with Jesus baptizing those children. It's not just a debate. It's not just a debate about children. It's a debate about, ultimately, Jesus and what he can do. Often it's couched as a debate about whether children can repent or believe, but it really is, at the end, a debate, isn't it, about what Jesus can do for those children. He continues to say, to such as these belong the kingdom of God. We're going to be talking about Jesus blessing the little children in Mark chapter 10. Pastor Tom Baker joins us on this Tuesday afternoon, May the 24th. He is host of a radio show called Law and Gospel. Tom, welcome back.
Good day, Todd.
So why is it that many Christians, especially in American Christianity, have no problem with what Jesus does or says here, blessing the children, declaring them members of the and recipients of the kingdom of God, but they don't baptize such children?
I have come to the conclusion, after much thought, that every time someone is teaching false doctrine, it is because they have a wrong view of God, not just a wrong view of the particular article of doctrine they're talking about. Many people can't just believe that God would ever send an infant to hell, that therefore infants are innocent. And they'll use Bible verses, for example, to show that an infant of a Christian family is saved before baptism. 1 Corinthians 7:14. For the unbelieving husband has been sanctified through his wife, and the unbelieving wife has been sanctified through her believing husband. Otherwise, your children would be unclean, but as it is, they are holy. So they would use this verse to say, see, the children are already holy if there is a couple who are believers. Well, what they don't understand is the way that the wife sanctifies the husband, or vice versa, is by using the word of God to help the Holy Spirit create faith in her husband. And then when they have that faith, they baptize their children, and that's why they are holy. In fact, I was taking a look at this. It's in Luke 18, verse 16. Jesus called the children to him and said, let the little children come to me, but do not hinder them. And the title that the particular individual has above this is, young children, not babies, must come to him. Now, that's somebody who doesn't understand the original Greek, because even though the ESV says they were bringing children, the King James and the New King James, they say young children or little children. And when you take a look at the word that's used, it's paideion, which can mean not only a young child, a little boy, a little girl, but also it's the word for infants. So what culture would say that children were coming to Jesus that would not include infants? So that's how they do this. They do what's called eisegesis, that is, they put into the Bible their views rather than doing exegesis, which means they take out of the Bible what it actually says. This is another problem when the census comes about, that people didn't think that infants were counted. Of course they were counted, because they were considered to be children. So, first of all, somebody gets a wrong view about God, that God couldn't possibly send a little child to hell. They're innocent. And then they reinterpret the Bible verses where God makes it pretty clear that all little children are born with a sinful nature and are unredeemed.
So, coming back to the point that you made there about a wrong view of God.
Yes.
Just put it plainly, when Christians say, you know, we shouldn't be baptizing infants, or that these children had to have been of a certain age, and then Jesus would acknowledge them as recipients of the kingdom of God and bless them in that way. What do they believe about God there, or misbelieve about God?
They do what every other religion in the world does. They make God in their own image, which is kind of interesting because God does the opposite. He makes us in his image, which, of course, we fell from and are being brought back through salvation. What do I mean that they make God in their own image? They just can't understand how God can be the way he is, that he would send any little children to hell at all. And so even though there is a way to save children that we know about, they just can't understand a God that wouldn't consider all children to be saved before baptism. They're innocent, they would say, or something like that. That provides a view of God that looks on us as those, even though we're unredeemed, even though we have an old nature, that doesn't count when it comes to a child. Namely, that a child, and here's what they say, they will not be held accountable for their sin. The problem is, children die. Infants die. So they are having an accountability. If they weren't held accountable for their sin, they would be like those in the Garden of Eden. But there's nobody who are like Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. And therefore, God is anxious to save all children. And what I would say, he's got about 6 or 7 ways to save a child. But unfortunately, a lot of people think that baptism is the only way. And this is why this particular passage is so important.
Okay, you mentioned the culture here. And I think it's important for us to acknowledge that what the disciples are doing in trying to prevent the parents from bringing the little children to Jesus, they're not being meanies. They're just doing what is expected of them, really. You don't bother the rabbi with such people.
Yes. Children were simply unimportant. They were therefore limited in their access to God. In fact, there was a proper place where males who had been bar mitzvahed would go into the temple. But outside of that place were, for the women, the children, the lame, the blind, the mute, the Gentiles, etc. They weren't important enough or proper enough to get into the kingdom of God. And therefore, when Jesus died on the cross and the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, separating the Holy of Holies, that didn't mean that we could go into the Holy of Holies. It meant that God came out of the Holy of Holies. And I would paraphrase Galatians, where it says there's now no distinction between Jew or Gentile, male or female, slave or free. I would also say adult or children, because God now all considers us equal in Christ.
So Jesus commands, let the little children come to me, do not hinder them. And then he says the reason, for to such as these belongs the kingdom of God. What is the kingdom of God he's talking about?
The kingdom of God is what he introduces, particularly in Mark. This is really important. And what it is that kingdom to which we can believe in our hearts. The kingdom outside of the kingdom of God could be the kingdom of Satan, for example. But even to little children belongs the kingdom of God. That word kingdom, and it's a little hard for us in the West to understand that. We think it's a place. No, it's not. The English have a much better idea. When a British subject, for example, is on the ocean on a liner and a crime takes place, she in England has jurisdiction over that crime because her kingdom reaches wherever her subjects are. So kingdom is not a place as it is her rule over those who belong to England. Similarly, God's kingdom is his rule in our hearts to those who belong to the Holy Trinity. David already talked about this in Psalm 51. Create in me a clean heart. Renew a right spirit. And if that is not done, then there is no hope for salvation. And that's why I said that God has a number of ways to bring even little children into his kingdom.
And he doesn't say, to such as these, the kingdom of God can belong or something like that.
No.
He declares that to such as these, the kingdom of God does belong.
Yes. The kingdom of God belongs to all who have received faith in Jesus Christ. And that faith, the means of it, is given by God in a number of ways. We're very familiar with, of course, infant baptism, where we have a sure promise. But it is clear from the Bible that children can be brought into the kingdom in other ways, and to hinder a child from being brought into the kingdom is not good at all.
But Jesus doesn't seem to be particularly happy. It says he was indignant, and there are just few things that really raise indignant. That kind of indignant response in our Savior. What don't his disciples understand? With about a minute before we take a break.
Well, what they don't understand is that they themselves have to become like little children. In what sense? In the sense of trusting without doubt. For example, I could say things to my children when they were growing up, like we're going to go to McDonald's or we're going to go to church or it's time to go to bed. And when they were real small, before they got very independent, they just believed that. That's what mommy or daddy says. That's what we do. It is that kind of trust and faith that the disciples obviously did not have, for they should have realized that even from the Old Testament books, many children were brought into the kingdom of God, and this, of course, occurred prior to baptism.
So when he says, to such as these, he's not just talking about their age, kind of sweeping away the notion that children can't possess the kingdom of God, but he's also talking about to those who are like little children as well.
And he explains what that means in verse 15, those who receive the kingdom of God like a little child. And to receive it, this is very important, that's a proper translation. It's not those who accept the kingdom of God, no, those who receive it. It's kind of like it's time to eat, you have a baby infant, you cook some meal, put it on the end of a spoon, put it towards the mouth, and he or she eats that. She receives the food given by the parent. And in that way, we also are to receive the food. In fact, one of the prayers talks about digesting the Word of God, which means believing it with our whole heart.
Pastor Tom Baker is our guest. We'll take a break when we come back, 10 more minutes with him, teaching a Sunday school lesson. Jesus blesses the little children in Mark chapter 10. We'll get to that 15th verse there, where Jesus says, look, if you do not receive the kingdom of God like a little child, you do not enter it. We'll be right back.
It was Jesus Christ our Lord. Now pay close attention, little children. It's somebody you ought to know. Yeah, it's all about a man that walked on earth nearly 2,000 years ago.
The church's music from the second century.
Shepherd of tender youth, guiding in love and truth.
The sixth century. The 12th century. The 16th century. The 21st century. The best of the church's music from the past 2,000 years. LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Grace, faith, scripture, and Christ alone. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues, Etc. 300. Our Savior Lutheran, Pacifica, California. Messiah Lutheran, Danville, California. Faith Lutheran, Capistrano Beach, California. Grace Lutheran, San Mateo, California. Our Savior Lutheran, Grand Rapids, Michigan. St. Paul Lutheran, Hamel, Illinois. St. Paul Lutheran, Brookfield, Illinois. Grace Lutheran, Racine, Wisconsin. St. John's Lutheran, Mayville, Wisconsin. Prince of Peace Lutheran, Crestwood, Missouri. Faith Lutheran, Plano, Texas. St. Paul Lutheran, Austin, Texas. University Hills Lutheran, Denver, Colorado. St. John Lutheran, Topeka, Kansas. Peace Lutheran, Alma, Michigan. Zion Lutheran, Imperial, Nebraska. And Trinity Lutheran, St. Charles, Missouri. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget at our website, issuesetc.org. Click support. The Issues Etc. 300. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Pastor Tom Baker is our guest. He hosts a radio show called Law and Gospel. You'll find a link to it at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. We're teaching a Sunday school lesson talking about Jesus blessing the little children in Mark chapter 10. So you mentioned this before the break, that Jesus explains what he means when he talks about such as these, to such as these belong the kingdom of God. Verse 15, truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter it. Jesus actually talks a lot about people not entering the kingdom of God, especially when he's dealing with his opponents. What's he saying here?
Well, we need to do scripture, interpret scripture. If somebody asked us, how do these children receive the kingdom of God? Because infant baptism wasn't available at that time. But listen carefully to Mark 10, verse 16. And he took them in his arms and blessed them, laying his hands on them. Now, it doesn't take much of a search to take a look at the word hands in regard to God. But every time God and his hands are mentioned, it's always him doing a wonderful new work of either creation or blessing, etc. I have no doubt that if Jesus could come into the world physically today, pick up a child, lay his hands on them, that they would be blessed and receive faith as well as if they were baptized in the waters of infant baptism. In fact, I was privileged this past Sunday at Rosebud in Missouri to baptize an infant. And I know a lot of pastors, I've never done this, they actually take the child from the mother, put the child in their arms, and then use their hands to apply water to them. And I can understand now in reading this, Mark 10:16, why they might do that. Because there's no difference between Jesus doing this and a pastor laying his hands with water on them. So if Jesus picked up every child in the world, took them in his arms, blessed them, laid his hands on them, this is how that child is saved. So what is this text saying? There is nothing a child can do in order to save themselves. It is instead an action of Jesus, and we therefore believe that we're not saved by works through merit, but by grace through faith. And this passage really hits the nail on the head in regard to that.
This laying on of the hands that you just talked about here, that is, it's not just that Jesus can confer such things by laying on of hands. He is physically, and this is what laying on of hands often means in the New Testament, as you well know, Tom, he is designating these children as individuals, as members of his kingdom. He's kind of marking them, isn't he?
Listen to Acts right on, 8:19, where it says, "Give me this power also," this is a guy who wants power, "so that anyone in whom I lay my hands may receive the Holy Spirit." Now, this was a false teacher. Peter said to him, "May your silver perish with you." But the fact is that people did receive the Holy Spirit in verse 18. "Now, when Peter saw, after he laid their hands on them, that they had received the Holy Spirit," wow, this character Simon offered him money to have this gift also. So isn't this interesting that in Acts, the laying of hands of the apostle had the same kind of authority behind the power Jesus did in laying his hands on those children? They received the gift of the Holy Spirit. And that's the point I wanted to make, that there are a number of ways in which God saves little children. The one we can be sure about is, of course, infant baptism. But that doesn't exclude the other ways.
The reading that immediately follows this, and I think they're put side by side for a reason, Tom,
yes,
one that you're very familiar with, also has to do with someone desiring to, in this case, inherit the kingdom of God. And in the end, Jesus laments the fact that the man, given his reliance on himself, will find it very difficult to enter the kingdom of God. Is there a contrast set up between these children who really have nothing, possess nothing, and can do nothing for themselves, and the man that follows in the next reading, who is self-sufficient and by his own admission is able to do all these things from his youth, from the time he was a little child?
Yeah, it's an excellent point, because he says, "All these commandments I've kept from my youth." If Jesus answered, "Well, you want to get into the kingdom of heaven by your works, obey the commandments." And then Jesus says, "Well, one thing you lack among a million others is you have too much trust in your money. And so give it all to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven." And then the disciples are astonished. And they say, "Who then can be saved?" And then Jesus says the words that apply to these children, where he says in verse 27, "With man it is impossible, but not with God." So it is impossible for a child to be saved. But when Jesus picks them up in his arms, when he lays his hands on them, when he blesses them, as do the apostles sometimes in Acts, it's as good as if water baptism had been applied.
What then is, for the children in the Sunday school classroom, what is the law and gospel of our reading for today?
The law is, many of us think, when we think about, am I going to go to heaven? I asked that in a Bible study today, and the lady said, "I hope so." And I said, "No, you don't hope so, you know so." And I said, "Have you been baptized?" "Yes." "Do you believe in Jesus Christ?" "Then you know you're going to heaven." these children are going to grow up knowing they're disobedient to their parents. And the Sunday school teachers need to help them to understand that their salvation will not be based on any of their works, but instead on the works of Jesus Christ. And so that just as these little children were touched by the hands of Jesus, so also when they were baptized in the name of the Holy Trinity, it may be the pastor's hands, but it's really the hands of Jesus applying the water and the voice of Jesus, I baptize you into the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit. And the gospel is the promise that God will never break his promises to these children.
Pastor Tom Baker is host of a radio show called Law and Gospel. Next week, Pastor Baker will lead us in a Sunday school lesson on Daniel in the Lion's Den. Tom, thanks for being our guest.
And thank you, Todd.
Tomorrow on Issues Etc., we'll get our weekly update on the November elections. Mark and Molly Hemingway will join us from the Weekly Standard and The Federalist. We will also continue our series on the qualifications of a pastor. Dr. Thomas Winger will be our guest. We'll get into the particular qualifications that Paul has there in 1 Timothy and in Titus as well with Dr. Thomas Winger. The Sunday school curriculum that forms the basis for our conversations with Pastor Baker every week is called Growing in Christ. It's from Concordia Publishing House, thoroughly Christ-centered and cross-focused. You can find out for yourself. They'll send you a free sample if you give them a call, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040, or browse before you buy at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Look for Growing in Christ. This is why Peter, when the day of Pentecost arrives and he is preaching to that multitude of people from all over the Roman world, can say the promise is for you and for your children. He had learned at one point, one of those disciples refusing admission to Jesus by these little children and their parents, he had learned now that the promise extends not only to him and to the parents, but to all, to you and to your children along the kingdom of God. In the grace of Jesus Christ. I'm Todd Wilkin. Talk with you tomorrow. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio. Issues Etc. is listener-supported. We rely on you for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Now, if you appreciate Issues Etc., please consider making a tax-deductible gift today. You can make a secure online contribution at issuesetc.org. You can also donate by check. Make your check payable to Issues Etc. and send it to Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Thanks for your support.
The Third Commandment teaches us to remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. We do this when we hold God's Word sacred and gladly hear and learn it. Jesus invites the weak and heavy laden to rest in him, our true rest, because his yoke is easy and his burden is light. This weekend, rest in Jesus as you hear his word and receive his gifts. If you are in Southern Illinois, you're invited to join Trinity Lutheran Church in Millstatt to rest in the grace of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Learn more at trinitymillstatt.org.